Check, check, check. What's going on? It's your man's name tag, Alexander. This is the Label Podcast. For those of y'all that's not familiar, that's for Lead and Be Legendary. Make sure you check out the website, leadandbelegendary.net. Also, to my left of me, I got my man's DJ DDT. Let him know who you is, DJ DDT, and where they could follow you at.
Yeah, my name is DJ DDT. I'm sorry. I feel like I just got pepper sprayed or something all of a sudden. You say where they can find me? You mean on
social media? Yeah, let them know where you at on social media before we jump into it.
Yeah, I'm anti-social media, but you can find...
But you on there.
I'm on there. I'm everywhere, you know, but you can find me on Instagram at DJDDT1. Shot by DDT, and you can find me on Twitter at DJDDT and also shot by DDT. I can't stand Facebook, but I'm on there. You can find me as Desmond DJ DDT Travis.
You hate Facebook.
Facebook is the fucking devil.
Y'all just don't know how to use it. I keep telling y'all that.
It's still the devil.
It's the devil. You know what? I got some stuff to say about that, but that'd probably be another podcast episode that we touch on. But that's what I meant to include. Make sure we also on the social media sites as Lead and Be Legendary as well. It's LABL Music on Twitter and Instagram, and Lead and Be Legendary on Facebook, and LABL Music on SoundCloud too. That's where we're gonna be posting the podcast going forward. But like I said, just definitely follow us on the website, leadandbelegendary.net. But let's get into it, man. I'm already familiar with a lot of what you do, and I still jotted down some questions that I wanted to ask per se for the people that's listening, just to kind of get them a little bit more familiar with who you are and what you've done. Like, obviously you're a DJ. But let some of the people know, like, you know, obviously you've DJed for me, but let the people know, like, the other artists that you've DJed, for, you know, before in the past.
Well, I was D12's DJ when they got signed. And after that, I was Mr. Porter's DJ and I guess you could say production assistant.
Fresh.
Mr. Porter being Denon Porter or Denon. Yeah, officially, that was it, really.
And from there, it just kind of took off?
Yeah, of course, you know, I DJed for my best friend who's in Arizona and my other best friend who is actually a rapper and a DJ, but they really haven't done anything. So that's why I say officially just D12 and Denon.
Okay. Now, another thing is a lot of people know that you spent a lot of years being a DJ at WJLB. Now, was that the only thing that you did there at WJLB, or was it like more to it?
Oh, hell no. No, at JLB, I did everything except sales. Like, literally. I started in promotions as an intern, went straight to a show producer, a commercial producer.
Word.
On-air personality. Programmer, song editor, I don't know. It was so much stuff I did, man. I was there for 15 years, so.
That's a resume in his damn self.
Yeah.
Like, what were some of the highlight moments from, like, working there that you can share with the people that's listening?
Highlight moments at JLB? Actually, the whole 15 years was just fucking fun. But highlights, I guess I would have to say the show What's Next on the Menu.
Yeah, man.
That's when I was able to play. It was a one-hour show, and it was all Detroit music.
That's actually where I remember hearing one of my singles play. Like, I was like, man, whoever did this, man, thank you. Because, like, that was, like, a big deal. I remember that it was you and, what was my man's name?
TJ.
Yeah, Streets.
Yeah, yep. Detroit Streets.
Yeah. Do they still do that?
Nah. Hell nah. That's crazy. Hopefully classic. I'm still friends with everybody up at JLB, so hopefully I can convince somebody up there to continue it or even bring me back to continue it, but I don't know.
Now, as well as doing the DJ, you've expressed a passion for, like, music engineering too. I've witnessed you take, like, shitty recorded vocals and clean them up. So, like, when did you first take to that skill as far as engineering? Like, name some of the standout tracks that you mixed and mastered, but, you know, more so also, like, how did you get into that?
I was always fascinated with how songs were recorded and mixed, you know, even as a kid, because back then, Yeah, I'm an old motherfucker, so I was around in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, when I learned how to read, of course. From the jump, I was always reading credits on records, you know, whether it was the record label or the back of the album cover. I always read and saw who did what, who wrote what, who performed what instrument right. they used, who mixed what, who recorded what, where they recorded it, you know, all of that. Even what they, some albums even said what they used to record. So I always read that kind of stuff, so I was always fascinated with it. But I didn't officially get into mixing until maybe 2006.
That mattered, too, like just reading the credits. Yeah. That's a part of the experience now, like with, if you still actually, you know, for the people that still buy physical copies, to me, that's part of the experience. Like when people get it now, yeah, it's convenient with the digital downloads, but more so now with the streaming. But like just reading those credits for me, that was like everything. I like how Tribe did it, where they released the credits online with their latest album that right. you could kind of like see who did what. It just, I don't know, for me, I'm a nerd with that. So I always like seeing who did what.
Right. Yeah, it was tripped out to read that. It was actually, I'm still surprised. Well, I ain't gonna go into that.
So for you, that's another podcast in itself.
Yeah,
but,
that's another one.
But you said as well, like you, it was like 2006 for you?
Yeah, you know, so like my, really first, kinda... my first, I don't know if I can say my first big record or my first big song or my first official song was Born to Mac by Moody.
Oh, man.
But that one, you know, and it ended up sounding big.
I remember that. I remember that shit. That's crazy.
And ever since then, that's just been my goal, to make every song that I mix sound big, or, you know, to help artists.
You posted something as well on Instagram. I seen it. It was some shit you posted not too long ago, and it was, I want to say the song was with Corrupt.
I believe. Song with Corrupt?
I think. Was it Corrupt? It was Snoop Dogg, one of them. One of the cats from the West Coast, and I saw you posting it, said, yeah, that's maybe it was a remix? I don't know. And you say, like, yeah, when you hear that, no, that's me.
I said that?
You said some shit like that. It was something that you had mixed.
Something that I mixed, and I said, you know, that's
you mixed with a lot of niggas. So it was like,
I mixed really, with quite a few people.
You know, I could probably find it, like, wow.
Something that I mixed. I don't know, because I mix so much stuff.
That's
man.
What I'm saying. Like, I know you mix for a lot. I should have probably just did my research, did my fucking due diligence, and
I mean,
and
it was
jotted
a lot of,
down what it was.
There was a lot of things that I mixed that
but I looked
like,
damn,
co-mixed
by that?
Somebody else. So
that might have been what it was, but I'm like, damn, he had a hand in that? That could have been the case. But I'm like, man, he done mixed for like a lot of niggas that people don't even know. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what's crazy. Like, people just looking like, oh, yeah, he mixed or whatever. But like, nah, he mixed for some cats that's out here doing it.
Yeah,
you
I've
know
done
what
some
saying?
Major
really
label
noise.
Stuff. I've done quite a bit of major label stuff.
Wasn't it some Snoop Dogg shit that you actually did, though? Like, that you had a hand in?
Oh, yeah, I produced it.
That's what it was. That's probably was what it is that I'm thinking of.
Beat Up on Your Pads on the Blue Carpet Treatment.
That's what it was. Cause I remember you showed some vinyl, and I seen it, I'm like, damn, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, that was actually because of Denon. He, you know, from day one, he always, like, he showed that much love. And, like, he could have easily.
Shout out to Denon.
Yeah, big time. He could have easily just said, yeah, it's my production. I did this.
Right.
But he just had me go in and do a couple things. And
it count.
I did it, and he put my name on it. I was, yeah, it count. I was, you know, I was, yep. What's the word? What's the word when you just really, really appreciate something? Anyway, I was really appreciative.
I was about to say appreciative. That's all you I know. Can. Normally, my vocabulary is on point. And I'm like, I can't think of
this,
shit.
Yeah, to this day, I don't think I can ever, like, really show Denon how much I really appreciate everything we've ever done together.
True indeed. And Denon, man, legendary shit for real.
Yeah.
Now, with you being a DJ nowadays, how important is the role of the DJ in today's music industry? I say that because DJs are more so, well, they've been strongly known for, like, what can I say, breaking records. And at a point being, like, the street A&Rs. But, like, with the internet today, it's more so been easier for, like, artists now to get their own records heard. So, like, yep. Do you feel that that's impacted DJs now? Or, like, what's their role today?
I don't want to be negative, but it is a negative. I'm sorry, I'm watching these two cars come together. I thought they were about to hit. But It's a negative situation when it comes, or for DJs. It's a negative situation for DJs because in most aspects, the DJ doesn't matter because, and it's, it's a very small part of it is our fault. We didn't, I can't say we didn't do what we were supposed to do because we still spin, we still DJ.
Right.
But technology came.
Exactly.
And took a lot of, see, I don't want to say power because I don't want to sound arrogant and shit like, you know.
A lot of DJs still have that power, but like.
A lot of them do, but most of us who had that power don't have it anymore.
Because it's like
It's only now for the top tier DJs to handle or to have.
Because I know myself, like now, like who's really, you know what I'm saying? Like, I much respect to the DJ, but it's like, it's kind of weird because you in that space, like, are people really checking to the DJs, like, especially with mixtapes. Right. You know, yeah.
And here's what we put out the mixtapes. And let me make it clear for everybody listening. What we're talking about is, when it comes to DJs, who do people listen to? Or what DJ?
Who matter the most?
Yeah, what DJ matters to the listeners? You know, when it comes to what's played or, you know, what is presented to the listeners. And it's only a few DJs that matters. Like, it still matters that BJ is playing somebody's record.
Right.
You know what I mean? It still matters.
Shout out to DJ BJ.
You know,
3525.
Exactly. What up, though? Back in the 90s, it was Gary Chandler.
Yeah.
I literally watched Gary Chandler make every other DJ play a record that he was just bullshitting with. And I want to say it was, you know, this is back when he was playing booty, bass, and techno.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it was the Taxi Cab record. I don't know if you know which one that is. That's
okay. We never knew them shits. I never knew the shits by name.
Yeah. It's called Taxi Cab. Gary was bullshitting. It was like, DDT, watch I play this record. In the next couple of weeks, every other DJ gonna start playing it. He was bullshitting with it. Didn't even mean to make it what it is. And because he did that, that became one of the biggest booty bass techno records in Detroit.
What year was that? Because like I'm sure I was like a kid when that came out.
It had to be the end of 94, beginning of 95.
Yeah, I definitely was a kid.
And it just tripped me out because exactly what he said happened. Everybody ran to that's when everything was on vinyl.
It's like, oh, okay, he got it, so it's okay, you know, to play it. It's like, instead of just trying to break it themselves, and they got it, but they're like, I'm gonna wait and see.
They didn't even have it. That's what I was about to say. This is back when everything was on vinyl. Everybody found out what he was playing and ran to the record store.
It's crazy.
And bought up every copy they could find of it. Man, everybody started playing it.
That's crazy. Now times are so different now. Like,
and it's
like,
only because he knew he had the power to do that. Now, that can never happen. Or wait, let me back before I even continue with that. The thing about music or how the industry was going back then, we, meaning DJs that were like in radio or that were the top tier DJs, we got records sent to us on vinyl from every single major record label. Actually, major and independent. Everybody sent us their record on vinyl through the mail. And we were the first to get it. We got it before anybody ever heard of it. We got it before it was even ready to release. Damn. So we would have it a month or two in advance. And we would play it. Everybody would ask, what is it? You know, and that's how people found out about records. That's what made DJs relevant. Because we got everything first. You know, mid-2000s, when the MP3 was so easy to...
Now everybody emailing it.
Yeah. So, the average artist would go to the studio...
Or sending you CD copies of it or something.
No, this is after CDs. Because even when it was CDs, they would still send them to the DJs first. Send them to the DJs first. And... So with MP3s and with digital files, as soon as a record is done, as soon as it's mixed, it ain't even got to be mastered now no more. As soon as it's mixed, and even partially mastered, it's sent out on the internet.
Right.
So that's where bloggers came in. That's where, you know.
It's almost like bloggers are.
Yeah.
Essential as far as like being the DJs now, like not saying that they are DJs, but that's who they kind of like the new DJs.
Well, it was for a good 10 years. For some reason, I don't see that no more.
Is because like I say, the artists can break it now. The artists
can break it themselves.
Artists can do whatever with their own record now.
Nobody needs blogs anymore because nobody really. I don't think the average listener goes to blogs anymore.
No, you're just going straight to them streaming sites if you know it's there.
Yeah, go straight to SoundCloud. Go straight to AudioMac. Because that's where artists put their stuff. They don't even send it to DJs anymore.
One thing I wanted to touch on, too, I see a lot with celebrities now and just people that's in entertainment that's not even DJs getting DJ gigs. So I started wondering, then, like, damn, I want to know from your perspective, like, seeing this often, like, what do actual DJs stand on that? Like, you see, shit, we done seen shit with Paris Hilton. You know what I'm saying? Like, having a DJ gig. It's like, she ain't no fucking DJ. Like, what?
First, I tell you why, then I tell you how DJs feel about it. First, it's done because a DJ like me became irrelevant because, like I said, because of MP3s. Anybody could get it. Anybody could be a DJ. It doesn't matter your skill set. It doesn't matter your playlist. As long as you play the bangers.
I'm like, they just pressing a button. They not even it like putting the records. They just
it doesn't
button.
Matter.
That's it. It's the hit right here.
None of it matters. As long as you play the hit records, damn, you're a DJ.
That's crazy.
So with that said, they needed something else besides just the average Joe up there playing the button, playing the hit.
It's like it's not a measuring stick no more to be considered like a great DJ.
Skills are out the windows.
Man.
Skills don't matter anymore.
Now you get.
And they haven't in a long time. So with that, they like, we can't just hire the average, the average person and call them a DJ and expect them to, set my party off. So we got to have another hook. What's going to bring people in? Celebrities.
We got a celebrity. They ain't just sitting there now doing a walkthrough. Oh, they actually playing the records, too.
And they stand.
That's crazy as hell.
So, you got Snoop Dogg. You got Erykah Badu.
I understood it when, you had producers doing it because in a lot of cases, there's producers that are DJs as well. And, mm-hmm. and that's going to bring me to my next question as well. And then there were artists who kind of did tell their story and be like, y'all started as a DJ.
I tell you,
it kind of makes sense.
What's crazy is, I tell you something else about that. A lot of producers were not DJs. They had somebody come in because they wanted to, that became the way the industry worked. If you're a producer, you have to be a DJ.
Yeah.
So they started developing producers as DJs and having a DJ, they would hire a DJ to show them how to DJ.
Damn.
Or if they were a DJ and they looked a certain way, they would hire a producer to show them how to produce. All because of looks and fame.
So, that bring me to what I was going to ask you. Like, you get busy on the beats. Like, what's a few songs that people will probably be familiar with that you have produced? Like I said, I know you done obviously produced some of my joints or whatever, but it's ain't about me. We want to know, what's some tracks that people can look up and be like, damn, actually, he did this?
Actually, I don't think there is enough stuff of me producing besides yours that people would recognize or know I produce.
So now y'all know when y'all hear my shit, like if it's produced by DDT, to reach out, because you do got the beats too as well. Cause you rock like many hats then if that's the case, because you the DJing, the mixing and engineering, of course, and then like I say, the beats. But then there's videography now, like a lot of the photography, shot a couple of my videos, and you've Then doing the photography as well. Like, touch on that, briefly.
Even with that, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done anything with visuals professionally or, what I consider professionally if I didn't have a passion for it. And I wouldn't want to disrespect anybody who did have a passion, and I didn't. I don't want to just be jumping into it because everybody else is doing it. It's something I actually, in 10th grade, I took a photography class. And 11th or 12th grade, I took a cinema class. I actually forgot that I even took a cinema class.
I feel like it's room for everybody out there, to earn. You know what I'm saying? With those people. And plus, when you're an artist, nine times out of ten, actual artists aren't just confined to that one particular skill set. It's other stuff you know to do. And then eventually when you're doing, let's say like with you DJing or whatever, somehow that's going to spill over into production or just with any ordinary, it's going to spill over into other things. So it's like...
Case in point, Chris Brown and Patti LaBelle. Chris Brown is just as good a dancer and paint artist as he is a singer. Mm. And I don't know how many people realize. Like, Chris Brown got galleries and he got paintings that sell for thousands.
I knew he had that shit. Like, I saw he had, like, some, like, graffiti art, like, in his one of his cribs or whatever. He had it on the internet. And,
like, his paintings go for like, money.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's boy, some shit, like, when you retire, talent. He could still bank off that.
Yeah, he got talent. And then Patti LaBelle, you know, since I was in my, like, early 20s or maybe even my late teens, always heard that Patti LaBelle cooked as well as she sang.
I always wondered, can Patti LaBelle really cook, though? I've heard some good reviews about the patty pies, and then at the same time,
I've heard some pie.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Everybody's sweet potato pie ain't, like, the shit.
Oh, and that's one thing. And the other thing is...
The pies look kind of light-skinned.
It's now mass-produced, so...
Yeah.
They ain't coming straight out of the patties.
I was like, man, them pies look real light orange. Like, I like my sweet potato pie, like, to be... kind of like that dark orange color. Like, hers look real light skin. I'm like, nah, I don't know if I would want those. I'm kind of straight on that.
You know, that's what a lot of it is about. Like, for me, I don't even call myself an entertainer or none of that. I call myself a creator now.
Content creator.
Yeah.
Creative content.
I say I create. That's what I do because it's all creativity in the end that's all creativity in the end.
Did somebody rival those patty pies? You know, it's always something. They see, the patty pies I'm about to come with. You know, it's something. Like, did somebody rival or have, like, some biscuits or something? Like, has that been done yet?
I'm sure somebody has or will.
Aretha Franklin biscuits or some shit like that.
I'm going to find something and start cooking. yeah, man. Yeah. That's the other thing. You're going to always have competition. You're going to always have somebody trying to one-up you on everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it can be irritating, but if you just do what you do and don't worry about what everybody else is doing, then you'll be straight.
And I feel like it's always room out here for everybody. Everybody can do the same thing. It's just when it's that monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
I'm doing it just because I see you doing it.
Yep.
And that's it. It's like you have no end goal to this. There's no really praise. Like, I just want to do it because I see you doing it. I want to outshine him. It's like... I don't like that mindset. Like, I don't like that whole...
Just like when it comes to directing videos, like, I could easily go out here and get one of these shirt-off rap groups.
Shirt-off rap groups?
Yeah, I call them the shirt-off boys. You know, all the young dudes with their shirts off pointing guns at the camera. I could easily do that. And I'm not dissing none of them because Diego Cruz is my boy and Los Payne is my boy. That's my dude. And I really, really respect... Los Payne, because I watched him
Shout out to both of them cats, man. They
watched Los Payne start from the... when he started off, he didn't know what the hell he was doing. He was like, show me or I'll go learn myself. And he ended up learning himself.
And major shout out to Diego Cruz, man. He definitely a talented dude.
Yeah.
He's passionate about it, too. He's super passionate. That's how you know, like, nah, this guy is for real, man. And he I feel like he don't get enough credit, man. He's done, like, some videos that got some mad placements, like MTV, BET, Jams. He need more credit, you know what I'm saying? He grinding, though.
If Diego Cruz ever hear this, dog, I need you to know that you don't need to be so fucking sensitive. There are going to be a million awards coming your way. Just because one or two, you're not nominated for one or two right now, that don't mean nothing. Just what's the word? Just know that your work is being recognized and you ain't got a lot of shit to worry about. Those awards are come and go.
This is year now, man, but it sounds cliche, but this is his year now in 2016. Like, he accomplished a lot, but 2017 and beyond, man, he gonna kill it. Because of that passion, because of that fire.
Yeah, and I hope he keeps that fire and I hope he keeps that passion because... He got an eye. He has that eye. He knows what he wants, You know what I mean? When it comes
I'm going to get him. I'm going to definitely get him on a podcast, too. We're going to definitely touch bases on that because, you know, just the lost art and videography or whatever. We definitely going to speak on that. So, Diego, we definitely going to have an episode with you on the podcast, man. Just know I'm reaching out. One last question I want to ask, and then we're going to wrap it up. What's in the works for the DDT brand? Like, what do we expect from you in the future? Like, just this coming year, what's to be expected?
Well, just more creativity. Just, you know, more beats.
That's the best answer. Definitely the best answer.
You know, hopefully, I already talked to a few venues. I'll be doing more events around the city. It's not my end goal as a DJ either. I really don't even give a shit about DJing inside Detroit. I'm trying to be
spread it out.
Yeah, I'm trying to be that traveling DJ that's in other states and other countries like all the time. And then I'm back in the studio with some prominent people. It's a lot that I can't talk about, but
just know.
Yeah, I mean, even if y'all didn't know, I know that I'm doing some good work right now. That's all I'll say about that. And then
top secret Illuminati. Yeah.
You know, hell no. But you know, on the visual side, I'm still shooting. I do want a gallery sometime soon. Hopefully I can get one. If I, you know, even with that, when it comes to the events, I will have my visuals and my music doing things together.
Definitely. Content creator, man. Yeah. Man, we appreciate it, man. This is definitely, I don't know when I'm going to drop this podcast. I'm not going to say what number this is. I don't know when I'm going to drop it, but I feel like you gave the people like something to take away from this. You know what I'm saying? Walk with it like, damn, okay. You know, it's just like, it's like we discussed the whole thing about just content creation and it being room out there for artists to have so many, especially nowadays, we're having so many different lanes to do stuff, man. But we definitely expect and look forward to seeing more from you in 2017.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to wrap it up, man.
I'm about to act like a 22-year-old in 2017.
I feel that. I'm going to definitely go home, and I'm going to work on this business plan and get these biscuits popping to be sponsored by Aretha Franklin.
Right.
But check us out online, leadinglegendary.net. Like I said, at LABL Music on Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and Leading Be Legendary on Facebook. Shaman's name, tag Alexander. Oh, man.
Riri Biscuits coming soon.